This is EdTech Weekly. Just in case you weren't sure which podcast you were listening to, that's the one you clicked on. Today's episode, we talk about the Iraqi government shutting down the internet, Google is expanding its classroom platform, and iTunes University gets an update, among a couple of other things. Matt, did you survive the 4th of July weekend?
I did. Well, I ate it through the fireworks.
Good. Well, not everyone does, so it's good that you did. I'm glad you're here. Matt, we of course start with the EdTech news of the week. Ars Technica reports that the Iraqi government shut down the internet for a few hours to stop students from sharing test questions and answers. Now, Iraq certainly isn't on the forefront of internet freedom, but are they on to something here, Matt?
Well, until they're able to get rid of all paper, pencils, pens, and smoke signals, I really can't say that they're going to be able to crack down on everything. If there's a will, there's a way.
It's not as if cheating wasn't a problem before there was the internet. I suppose on some level it can spread much quicker now than just in one classroom.
Oh, yeah. No, it can spread really, really quickly. You can use Twitter for, answer 2AB, underscore C, and then map out all the, answers for everything.
I mean, isn't a simple testing algorithm for these tests where they'll change the answers and change the questions enough to circumvent that sort of thing?
It could be, but are they using something like that?
I don't know. It seems easier to maybe just push the internet off button in Iraq. Maybe that's the way to go.
They Googled Google.
They just Google it. How do we shut down the internet?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that would have worked. But, it does kind of take us to a little bit extra point here. I know there are some ways that you can log in under some testing, login credentials that take your access to the internet away. But of course, if they have their devices on them, they can still do this sort of thing. Obviously, this is an extreme way to stop cheating, but it is a way.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, but the story itself says that it shut it down from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., which isn't the worst thing in the world. But I can imagine someone trying to do that here in the United States and the amount of businesses that would be impacted by that.
Yeah, this could never work in any country that has any sort of freedom whatsoever, yeah. Could it? I mean, this is just not a viable option. Although, I suppose on a school basis, school-wide, you could probably turn the switch off, so to speak, on the incoming outgoing from the school, maybe. But then you've still got other teachers in other classrooms using it. Clearly, this is not a good method.
No, but...
Let's move on to the next story. TechCrunch reports that Google is expanding its classroom platform to all access to a new API and a share button for websites. Google is expanding its educational platform. It's giving opportunities for outside platforms to share info, it sounds like rosters and grades. Is this something that you think is going to work for schools? I know that in our school district that I'm a part of, we don't really allow Google to be used for security and information reasons. Is this something that you think can help Google crack into those type of counties, or is this something that's not really going to help that?
How much time you got? Can we do an hour-long podcast?
Well, people might get annoyed. We do only have about 50 listeners per show, but I don't want to lose that. We'd rather gain than lose, I think, at this point.
I think it's a great move for Google to try to break what's happened in the past. I like Google. I've used Google ever since I was one of the beta testers for them at University of South Florida. It's been great. I use it at work all the time. It's awesome to be able to share back and forth with friends. You and I share, a ton of stuff using Google.
That's right. Google Hangouts is where we share a lot of information. In fact, I this is kind of off topic a little bit, but I wish more of the, text-based communications I had with my other friends was through Google Hangouts. It's a much simpler interface, I think, than most, text messaging apps. So,
oh, yeah. And the latest update has been phenomenal. I mean, I open up my laptop, and if I haven't read it on my phone, it pings me on my computer and says, hey, you need to answer Ricky. Ricky's important.
I get it. You're a Google fanboy. I get it. And you're going to get the gift card. No one has emailed the show at edtechweekly@gmail.com. So I'm giving you the $15 gift card. Okay. Just, you don't have to politic for it. Okay. You're getting it.
You got it. But Google has had a problem, with sharing of data, and it's happened in the past where a school district has actually been able to actively, you know, and successfully sue them. I think until Google is able to play by the rules of the counties, I think they're going to have an uphill battle. With that said, not really anybody else is doing it, and the closest things that are going to come to rival Apple and Google come from the open source network. I work pretty closely in web hosting, and one of the products we have is Softaculous, and it gives you a suite of, you know, 340 plus products that are out there, and not a single one comes close to anything that Google and Apple are doing, especially for education. It's almost laughable.
Google is even far, far advanced in terms of educational applications for education. I mean, Google's way. Apple does a few things well, but it's just not a whole integrated system that Google has with their app system. The only complaint that I've ever heard about the Google app system is that sometimes they get rid of apps that people use for really no reason. It doesn't seem, you know, and so they kind of maybe switch around a little bit. But overall, I would say Google is more advanced with that. But the sharing of data information is going to have to be something that they slowly build trust with, I think.
Yeah. And as of right now, they're stating that none of that's going to be shared. I mean, it's not going to be shared in the way that we probably look at it now. There's clearly going to be demographic information. They're going to analyze the data that students are, you know, coming up with and then making their products better, which I think is very, very good to be, you know, to focus in on, that there aren't going to be any direct ads that are directed towards children. So I think it's a move in the right direction. I think you're going to have a lot of communities that are going to be super duper happy that they're coming in into the marketplace with such a great product offering. I mean, you can't really take anything away from it. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And I've spent a lot of time digging through what I could find. Of course, I'm not an educator, so I can't exactly get into everything.
Oh, you're educating me right now.
Yeah. But I mean, just using Google Apps on a day-to-day basis, what Google has done for hosting as well, domain registrations, actual web hosting, I mean, it's phenomenal. They have their own, you know, drag and drop, you know, system out there that I don't hear anybody talking about, but it absolutely rivals Wix, Weebly. I don't think it's quite up there with Squarespace, except for the functionality for email.
We're talking about basically like WYSIWYG, what you see is what get, drag and drop internet creating and websites. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can do some back end JavaScript stuff too. I mean, it's phenomenal. I just think that this whole suite of products specifically about education is phenomenal. Just feel like it's an uphill battle.
I think you're right. I mean, I think first of all, however much Google is paying you for this endorsement, I think it's well worth it on their part. But I think they have the power in this, and if they choose to use it wisely, they could do a lot of great things. And they already are. I know there's a lot of Google certified educators and a lot of counties that use it, but I think if they go that extra mile, they could really, really make a big impact. Well, their rival, so to speak, is Apple, and Recode reports in our next story that an app iTunes University update is bringing grading functionality, and you're able to send assignments directly from apps within the iPad, and it also is adding private discussions for the classroom. Again, this is nowhere near the suite that Google offers, but iTunes University is slowly going from a platform which kind of just gave easy access for everyone to review college lectures like from Stanford and things like that years ago, to a full-scale sort of learning management system that you can kind of keep on your own little separate island, so to speak, which I think is, you know, a little bit opposite of what Google's doing. But I think some districts especially are more excited about this type of thing where it's a little more separated from everything else, all the data. Did you get a chance to check out any of the updates, or have you had any experience with iTunes University?
I've played around with a little bit. I've done some checking out on there. There was some really good stuff coming out of Stanford that I really liked. Personally, I like using some of the other products that are out there, just because they have a much more offering for a lot of other stuff too. That's a little bit more interactive for what I do. But I think it's great. I really do. I like what they're both doing. I think the iTunes University is a phenomenal way to reach students in a new way. And being able to post anything you want at all up there within reason, I think is just awesome. Getting more and more information out there. It's then dissecting what you're putting out there and how much of it is content you feel that you own. I think a lot of times, especially if you use an iTunes University, you have to really kind of look at what you're putting out there and be able to, you know, distance yourself from it sometimes because the ownership changes at that.
Yeah, there are some things you have to sign in terms of rights and all that. And it also is a much bigger thing for copyright issues. Like, you have to make sure this is all your own material you're putting out there.
Yeah.
You just can't share with anybody. But it's really easy to become an iTunes University instructor. All you do is have an iTunes University ID, or an iTunes ID, I should say, Apple ID. You can, if your institution is a member, as some counties are, some schools are, you can actually, you know, go under that institution so your students and other people can find you as well, and you can share it privately. But it definitely, I think, is making iTunes University more viable LMS if you are in a situation or ecosystem where that works. In other words, if you have all one-to-one iPad scenario, if you have a one-to-one iPad classroom, you really should try iTunes University. There's no reason you shouldn't try it. As a way to sort of share information with your students. There's an easy way to update them on stuff, and they get push notifications for new posts and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, really to me is they're adding more and more functionality. What I would love to see them do is have it be a web app so that anyone can do it with, from a, you know, a Chromebook or anything. Just as long as you can get online, you can access it. I feel like it's going there because the portal for creating classes is done now on the web, which it wasn't before. It's got its own sort of separate web app that looks a lot like the interface that you have on the iPad. So I'm hoping that's the next step. But it's exciting to see them tweaking this and doing what educators are asking for, which is a more closed off area that they can do grading all within, and they can send. One of the biggest problems that we have in a few of our schools that are doing one-to-one iPads is, how do we get the content that's being created on some of these apps to the teacher? Like, do you save it on the iPad and then they have to view it on the iPad, or how are we managing that? And this seems to at least deal with part of that. So it's pretty exciting, I think. Matt, we go to our resources of the week. The resource of the week this week is a little bit of a plug for ourselves. It's reddit.com/r/edtechweekly, or you can go to edtechweekly.reddit.com. That'll get you to the same place. How we're shaping this is we're just sharing links. Any stories that we post, I'm putting the links up there. Feel free to comment, upvote, downvote, whatever you want to do. Also, you can post your own links, post your own comments. My concept here is I really want to make this a place for people who are edtech enthusiasts to come and, you know, be an active community to just share information, what resources are working well, what aren't, have some discussion within, you know, those posts about those links, and see if we can, you know, make it a better way to share resources than just, hey, check out this website. You know, this way it can be a little more directed and a little more discussion that can help people out. What do you think about that, Matt? Is that a good move?
Yes. No, I think it's great. I think we should be inclusive to anybody who wishes to come to our subreddit.
I know there's a stigma about Reddit. I know there is. There's people that feel like, I forget one of the comments I read on Facebook the other day, something about people are scared they're going to get geek herpes if they go there. It is
Did they steal that comment from somewhere else?
I'm sure they did, yes. But it's probably from Reddit. But, yeah. You know, at one point in time, and I certainly think there's a stigma about Reddit, about it being a negative place, but if you can create your own area in Reddit and make it a positive place, it's a great place to do it. So again, edtechweekly.reddit.com or reddit.com and then search r/edtechweekly, or just search edtechweekly in the Reddit posts for the Reddit threads, and you'll be able to find it that way. Just do it. Share. It'll be fun. We're doing it. I'm posting the stories up there, and join us. Tip of the week, kind of piggybacks off our iTunes University. If you have iDevices, if your students have iDevices, you know, look at iTunes University and iBooks for you as an educator, as well as to turn your students toward that. There's a lot of free resources. I personally have, on iTunes University, looked in some programming classes. I was able to watch lectures from a really awesome professor from Stanford who teaches basic programming methodologies. You know, if your students have a certain passion, this is one way that they can find out more about it, and you can direct them so they can get more learning opportunities for it. And also iBooks. There's a lot of great iBooks for educators, but also for students too. Again, this is one of those things where if you're a educator or if you have students that have any iDevices, you know, why not turn them on towards that type of opportunity for learning? You know, let them explore some subjects in a more structured way, more educational format, and, you know, see if they want to pursue that subject further. And of course, there's also iBooks Author, which you can get on your Mac, and you can create your own books, you know, even small mini books to help your students learn or research in new ways. You know, always be looking to see what fits for you. It may not be perfect for you. It might not work for you or your school. If you don't have iDevices or your students don't, then that's not something for you. But if it is, give it a try. See how you feel. And one of the things that we're going to be doing on EdTech Weekly is I'm going to be posting a video for our tip of the week and showing you how to access it and giving you a little bit of information on how you could use it in your classroom. So be looking for that in the coming weeks. Matt, this is the end of the show. Let the people know here, edtechweekly@gmail.com. We're still waiting for our first email. We still want to know more about it. I guess we did have an email from Meredith, but we're just not counting that one. So edtechweekly@gmail.com. If you want to email the show, let us know how we're doing. How can we improve? We know we can improve. Let us know ways that we can. If you want to check out the show's website, edtechweeklyshow.com. That's going to give you the show notes. That's going to give you the links, and you can listen to the podcast directly from that site. We talked about it just a moment ago, edtechweekly.reddit.com. Share some stories. Work with the EdTech community and get together and learn some stuff and share some stuff. And Matt's favorite phone number, if you want to call and leave a message on the show, we'll play it on the show. Please, I promise you, you leave a message, and unless it's just profanity lace, we're going to play it on the show. We haven't had any yet. That number is 305-92-TECH-2, 305-92-TECH-2. Very easy to remember, right, Matt?
Underscore 15.
No, underscore 15. 305-92-TECH-2. Don't confuse the people, Matt. Well, that's another episode of EdTech Weekly. Matt, you promised you'd have a more eloquent end to the show.
I'm simply just going to say one word, and that word is rap.
Rap. Yes. Like, as in, it's a rap?
No, it was for rap music.
For rap music. Okay, well, I'm not sure that that works, and I think the people deserve better than that. So next week, I think you should give us a little more.
Fine.
Two words.
Rock and roll.
Well, that's three. Nice job. All right, everybody, we'll see you next
counting's
week.
Counting's not my thing.
Counting is not your thing. Next week, we'll see you at Tech Weekly.
How long is a week?